Hey, good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. Today's daf is daf Nun Vav. So we got to the very last line of Nun Hey Amr Beis. The Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amr Rabbi Yonasan, Kol HaOmer. Anyone who says that B'nei Shmuel Chatu Einu El Toa, those who claim that the children of Shmuel sinned are very much mistaken. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayihi, it was Kizokin Shmuel Avanav Lo Halachu B'Dirach Vayihi. Shmuel was older and his children did not follow in his path. They didn't follow in his path. At the same time, they didn't sin. They were somewhat neutral. They were in between, not doing positive things, but not doing negative things either. So the Gemara says, Ela mani mekayim vayitu acharei habatza, that they followed after the batza, which meant shochad, the money. They were driven by money. Shelo asu kimasa avihem, they didn't do like the ways of their father. Shaya Shmuel hatzadik mechazer bechol mekomos Yisrael v'danos ambareim, that Shmuel would travel from city to city, judging of Am Yisrael. Shenemar v'halach midei shana b'shana, every year he'd be traveling all year long with Savav Beis El v'Gilgav v'Mitzvah v'Shafet Yisrael. Every city he'd go to, he'd judge him. V'heim lo asu kein, they didn't do this. Ela yashu b'areim, they sat in their cities k'dei l'harbos schar l'chazaneim ulo sofreim, in order to bring in money for all their services. So while Shmuel was doing things voluntarily and going out proactively to help out, they were sitting around and sitting very passively. So they weren't doing anything wrong necessarily. They weren't doing any aveiras, but at the same time, they were not as proactive, anywhere near proactive, as their great father Shmuel. The Gemara says, in fact, it's really a katanai whether or not the children of Shmuel acted properly or not. As the Gemara quotes Machlokas, Vayita Acharei Abatza, that they were drawn after money. Rabbi Meir Omer, Chelka Mishalu Befiem, that they would explicitly ask for their chelik. Rashi says, Chelku Shalu Befiem, first in our line down, Rashi says, Maiser Rishon Haroi Lehem Shalavim Hayu. They were Levim. Shmuel and his children were Levim. And Maiser Rishon goes to Levi. So Shalu Befiem, they would ask, they were, you know, the Gedolim. They had a control, they had power. And the judges couldn't hold them back because they were Gedolim. And the other Levim, who were very poor, were in great pain because they didn't have the authority, power, connections as the B'nai Shmuel had. So that's the opinion of Chelkom Shalom Bufim. They would explicitly request Ma'aser Rishon, and that would put everyone else at a great disadvantage. The Gemara then says another explanation. What does it mean by Yita? Acharei Habatza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Milai Hitil al Bale Batim. What that means is, if you look at Rashi three lines down, this is Rashi's out of order, or a different order than our Gemara. Rashi says that Milai Hitil al Bale Batim, Nosin Lahem Pragmatia, they would give some type of business, Lasokba, for people to work with, for Lasis Lahem Aschar, and they would take money, meaning they would just have these people work for them. They would be, you know, the investors, and give money and people to work for them, and the investors would make all the money. And what would happen is, these people who would work on behalf of B'nai Shmuel, when they come to a court case and B'nai Shmuel would be the dayanim, they would judge in their favor. So that was certainly a sin. So that's a problem, of course. Then back to the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva has a different explanation. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Kupa, Yisera Shemaiser, Natlu Bizar, they would forcibly take more than their share of the Maiser Rishon, more than a tenth. They take more than. And then the fourth pshat, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Matanos, Natlu Bizar, they would take Matanos. What are Matanos? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Matanos is Zerua L'chaim V'keva. One of the 24 Matanos Kahuna was Zerua L'chaim V'keva. It's a pasuk in Shoftim, that every single animal that shechted, even just a regular chulin animal, you have to give these three parts of the animal to a kohen. There is no kedusha to them, but the rights go to the kohen. They're the Zerua, the arm, L'chaim, the cheeks, and V'keva, the stomach. V'heim la yukarim. They were not kohanim, and yet they take it anyways, Rashi explains. Lashon Acher, Rashi is a different pshat here, but either way, we'll go with that pshat for now. So these are four pshat, what they had done wrong. Some of them are veros, and some of them are just inappropriate, but not necessarily veros. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonasan, Kol Omer David Chata Eino Elato. Going along the same lines of these types of discussions, anyone who claims that David Melch sinned was also mistaken. Shenemar says, Vayhi David Lechol Derachol Maskil Vashem Imo. Every way, every path that David Melch went, he was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him, so certainly he didn't sin. So after Chait Ba Liado Shechina Imo, is it possible that David sinned and yet the Shechina was still with him? Certainly not. So the fact that Hashem Imo, he must not have sinned. So Elamani Mekayim, how do I understand the pasuk Madua Bazi says Dvar Hashem Lasos Hara? And it says, how come David, you had desecrated the word of Hashem in doing an evil thing? So the Gemara says, Shebikesh Lasos Flo Asa, that David HaMelech had thought to. He wanted to do something wrong, but in the end he didn't. So the Maisi did nothing wrong, he just had a machshava ra. So Amar Rav, Rebbe, the Asami David, Mahapech Vedarish Bezuchusei, the David. Rebbe, who had Yichas, who was a descendant of David HaMelech, and the Gemara's talk about this, I think Gemara Ksubis, I believe. He says he was a descendant of David HaMelech. So Rebbe, who came from David, he was Mahapech Bezuchusei. He's trying to find a understanding, explanation as to what David had done, not wrong. So Madu Abazi says that Dvar Hashem Lasos Hara was mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu says that David HaMelech, you had desecrated, despised Kadosh Baruch Hu's word. So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe explains, Rebbe comes to defend his great-great-grandfather. Rebbe Omer, Mishuna Razu Mikol Ra'al Shebet Torah. This evil thing, this Dvar Hashem Lasos Hara, is different than any other Ra in the Torah. Shekol Ra'al Shebet Torah, all other Ra'al that are mentioned in the Torah, Ksibhu Vayas, and he did something wrong. The conjunctive lasos to do should be kesh lasos for the asa that David HaMelech thought about. He contemplated doing something wrong, but in the end of the day, he did not violate the Navera. So the Gemara says further, and we're going to go into a great discussion about David HaMelech and the various individuals whom he worked with or had dealt with. Es Uriah Hachiti Kisa Vacherev, that David had instructed that Uriah Hachiti be killed. So Shayal Lachal Ladunu B'Sanhedrin V'lo Danta. So he should have really taken him to Sanhedrin and judged him there, but he didn't do that. V'es Isha Lachachta Lachal Isha. Then it says take his wife to be for yourself. So he was violating Eshizish. The Kuchim Yesh Chaba. So no. So these things that when first it says that David HaMelech was said killed Uriah, it wasn't that he was murdering him. It was simply saying that you should judge him Sanhedrin instead of taking matters into your own hand. Even though he rebelled, and someone who rebels is more b'machlas is chayv, it's better approach to take him to Sanhedrin than the king to take matters into his own hands. So he did nothing wrong, it just wasn't the best approach. And so too when it says, v'es'isha l'kachtel chal isha, that you took, that Nassan had accused him of saying, you took his wife, and she's an ish, how could you do that? So he says, l'kucham yesh l'chava, no, you can take, you're saying that you had the right to take her. So what's going on? So if you just look at Rashi, at Tosas, rather, Tosas explains here, that l'kucham yesh l'chava, so even let's say you did an avera. So someone does an avera with an eshedish. So normally you can't marry them. But when it comes to an anusa, when she was forced by David, anusa, I thought she had no choice. Bishari labal huadin labal. So normally an eshedish is with another man. She's as labal. She's as labal. That's only true when if she did it beratan. But if she did it beones, she was forced upon. So then she's mutter to be with the husband, remain with the husband, and she's mutter to be with the baal if she gets divorced or widowed. There's no avera involved in this situation, so this too can be explained. Rebbe explains each of these cases that although it sounded like David HaMelech did a number of things wrong, he was able to explain it in a different way. So then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, how is this allowed? How is David allowed to be with Batsheva and not be a violation of Eshes Ish? So Kol Yotzi LeMelchemes Beis David." Kosef get krisus l'isho. Anybody who would go out to be in the army and fight on behalf of David HaMelech would have to first write a get to his wife. Shenem Martz, it says, v'eis aseres charitze he'cholav ha'elu, that these, those in charge of the thousand, tavi l'tzar elef, v'esachacha taf tifka jashomes arubosam tikach. So it says, bring 10 amounts of cheese to the captains of tzar elef, to the captains of a thousand, and your brother should be in peace. And arubasam tikach, and take arubasam. What does arubasam mean? My arubasam asks the Gemara. Satani Rav Yosef, dvarm hamuravim beino levena. Matters relating to him and her, and things that are mixed together, a relationship between a husband and a wife, that's a reference to also make sure you write a get creases. How did this get creases actually work? So Rashi says that dvarm hamuravim beinayim, Rashi explains here, earlier, get creases, Rashi says, al tanai. They wrote a get al tanai. Shim yomus, if the husband dies at battle, tehei megureshes me'achshav, that the divorce should take effect now, upamim shutarit b'teso, v'shalcha minam l'chama. So this way the get would take place. Now if he dies, retroactively, he was already, the get was already given prior to the battle. So it was a Tanai. That's how Rashi understands it. Tosfos quotes Rashi, and Tosfos says halfway down Tosfos, he says, no, below Shum Tanai. He actually said that there'd be a full divorce. That before any man would go out, he'd divorce his wife without any Tanai. It'd be effective immediately. And if he came out alive, then he'd remarry her, unless he was a Kohen. He couldn't do that. I'm not sure how the Kohanim would do this, but for a non-Kohen, they would remarry the wife if they came out alive from battle. That's how it went. So while Rashi says it was a Tanai, Tosa says it was actually there was a real get. So Gemara now says, continuing the story of Nasan and David, Nasan giving all the tochacha to David for doing the wrong things, and although Rebbe had explained that it wasn't really doing the wrong thing, it wasn't the best thing, but it's still David had done nothing wrong. So Gemara now says, Vayitiv osa ragta b'cherev b'nei Amon, that Nasan says to David that you killed Uriah with the same sword that you killed b'nei Amon. So what does that mean? So what's Nasan trying to suggest here? To macherev b'nei Amon yata nenash alav, just like when David killed the village or the people of Amon, he wasn't punished for it. Af uriyachite yata nenash alav. So too, when killing uriyachite, you're also not held responsible. You are not going to be punished. So my time, why won't he be punished for killing Uriah? So Mori b'machlas, he rebelled. He was against David HaMelech. D'amar le, it says, v'adoni Yoav v'avdei adoni apnei asade chonim. That Uriah said to David HaMelech himself, my master Yoav. So you can't call someone a master in the presence of a king. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'adoni Yoav lav orch aretz. It's not appropriate. It's not derech aretz. L'kabal of marus acherim b'fnei HaMelech. To accept someone, to refer to a master in front of another, in front of the king, that to acknowledge someone else's greatness in front of the king is inappropriate, and that's called Morid B'Malchus. So Tosos says here that Damar Le V'Adonai Yoav, he quotes Rashi, Pej Rashi, De Morid B'Malchus Hava, Mishum De Kamer V'Adonai Yoav, like we said. Ve'enir, the Tosos doesn't agree with Rashi's understanding. De Ein Zeh Morid, that's not called rebellion. Shelo Haya B'Libo Lamlicho U'Lukros HaMelech. It's only rebellious if you have in mind to crown Yoav king. He wasn't intending on making Yoav king. Morid b'malchus means when you're attacking the malchus, you're going against the malchus. But to show someone else kavod, although it's not derech eretz, that's not called morid b'malchus. Morid b'malchus is only when you're trying to challenge the kingship. And that was not the case here. So Tosa ended up explaining that he was taka b'morid b'malchus. He was trying to crown Yoav to be king. But either way, it's in Shimachlokas whether Morid B'Malchus is showing kavod to someone else other than the king, or it's only trying to undermine the Malchus. There is an interesting point here that the Rashi says, based on this Rashi, that you can't show any type of kavod in the presence of a king. So the very halach l'maisa, when it comes to davening for the ill, if someone's ill and that person is either, you know, one's father or that person is a Rebbe, we're not supposed to say harav. If a Rav is sick, we don't say harav, Ruven ben, Sarah. We don't say such a formulation because when speaking to Kavdash Baruch Hu, the Malchei Hamelachim, we don't show kavod to anyone outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's based on this Rashi, some want to learn this particular halacha. Okay, let's go further now. The Gemara says, we are now Amar Rav, ki mainasa be bedavid. When you look into investigate the story of David, lo meshkachas be bar miduria, you don't find anything wrong other than this whole ma'isa with Uriah. Only with regards to the matter of Uriah was any wrong being done. So Abaye Kishisha, Abaye, the older Abaye, Kishisha means old, Rami the Rav, he had presented a machlokis, or at least a steer between two statements of Rav. Mi Amar Rav, does Rav really say Hachi? Bahama Rav, Kibo David Lashon Hara. So did Rav really say that the only matter you found he did wrong was the regarding Uriachiti? But don't we also have that Rav had accepted Lashon Hara? That was also an Avera. So Kasha, that's a Kasha. So Kasha, according to Rav, what sins David HaMelech actually had done. So of course it's very confusing. Did David sin at all? Some say he didn't sin at all. Some say he sinned once. Some say he sinned twice. So very unclear the entire life of David HaMelech. So the Gemara then says, Gufa, going back to the story of Lashon Hara, let's understand what was that situation there. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar, Kibel David Lashon Hara. That David, in fact, did. He was Mekabel Lashon Hara. So as it says, Dechsiv Vayomer LaMelech, Eifahu. The David Melech says to Tzivia, he says to Tziva, where is Mephibosheth? Where is he? So Vayomer LaMelech, Eifahu. Tziva was an Eved. Mephibosheth came from the house of Shaul. So he's asking Tziva, one of the Avadim of the house of Shaul. He says, Vayomer Tziva el HaMelech. Tziva responds to David, Hinehu beis Machir ben Amiel below Davar. He's there in this place, in Machir ben Amiel's house, below Davar. What does below Davar mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, below Davar, Eino Chacham B'Torah. He's not a Chacham, he's not learned. Who Matzu Mali Davar V'Chacham B'Torah. And he was, so he would say Mephibosheth is not a learned person. That was the Lashon Hara. So Chsiv says further, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikacheu Mibeis Machir Ben Amiel Milo Davar, and he took him out Milo Davar. So, 1 second here. Fine. So the Gemara then says, Michti. So Chazid, the Shakar, who, so David saw that Tziva was lying about Mephibosheth. So when Tziva spoke bad about Mephibosheth, why did David Mekabel, why is Mekabel this Lashon Hara, that when he found Mephibosheth, he talk and said, he is a low dover. He is ignorant. He's not a learned person. He's an Amaritz. Why do you accept this? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, so, by Yomer Melech, Ayeh ben Adonecha, so he says, Melech, David says to Tziva, where is the child of your master? Where is the child of Shaul? But Yomer Tziva El Melech, Hinei Yoshev Yerushalayim, he sits in Yerushalayim. So what does that mean? So if you just look at, 1 second. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Chaji the Shikra. Rashi mitchila matzu shakra mekach. Initially, David found that he was lying, that Mephibosheth was lying about this. Or rather, Tziva was lying about Mephibosheth. Ki hadar alashin alashin aleo, Tziva al Mephibosheth. When Tziva spoke about Mephibosheth, says Rashi, kishaya David bareach mipnei Avshalom, and David was running from Avshalom, my time akabim menai. Why was he mekabel it? So the Gemara says that as follows. How do you know David actually accepted the reports about Mephibosheth? The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Amelch Letziva, Hinei Lecha Kol Asher Mephibosheth, Vayomer, this is all, everything regarding Mephibosheth's belongings. And Mephibosheth, again, was a descendant of Shaul, so he should have been given all the properties of Shaul that was left over. Vayomer Tziva, Hishachavesi Amtachem Benecha Adonai Amelch, and Tziva had bowed down, and he was Mekabel the Lashon Hara, and he promised Mephibosheth the property to Tziva. So even though the money was supposed to go to Mephibosheth from the house of Shaul, he ended up giving all, if not some of it, to Tziva. Why did he give it to Tziva? Because he was Mekabel, that he didn't deserve it, that Mephibosheth didn't deserve it, since he was a Ha'aretz. So you see that he was Mekabel, the Lashon Hara, from Tziva. So Shmuel Amar Lo, he built a double Lashon Hara. He wasn't Mekabel, Lashon Hara, from Tziva Chas V'Shalom. Dvar Mani Karim Chazuba. He saw that Mephibosheth was correct, that Tziva was right. Then when Tziva said it, that Mephibosheth was an Amaritz, he didn't accept it. David didn't accept it. But when he did a little bit of an investigation, then he said, maybe he's Taka right, Tziva. I see from Mephibosheth, from his encounter with Mephibosheth, Taka is not a learned person. The Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, O Mephibosheth ben Shaul, the child of Shaul, Yara the Krasamel, came down to greet the king. V'lo Osir Raglava, V'lo Osir Shfama, V'ez Begav Lo Chibes. He didn't cover his feet, he didn't cut his mustache, and didn't change his clothing or wash his clothing. And that's entirely disrespectful, a way to greet the king. The fact that he greeted the king in such a way, it showed that he was not a learned individual. So therefore, Shmuel says it wasn't because of Lashon Hara that he accepted, rather it's because David himself knew and understood that was to be the case. Uksivit says further, Vahik kiva Yerushalayim l'kas ha-melech v'yomer, when he came, when Mephibosheth came to Yerushalayim to greet David ha-melech, v'yomer la-melech, he says to David ha-melech, lama lo halachta mi Mephibosheth? Why did you not go with me? Why did you not go with Mephibosheth? Why didn't you not give me all the property? But Yomer Adoni Amelach, he says, Adoni Amelach Avdi Rimani Ki Amar Avdicha Ech Meshaliyah Chamor Merkav Alev Eilchatz Amelach. So he says, the master of the king, my slave of Tziva, he tricked me. Because he said, I said, I'm going to put a, you know, get my donkey ready. I'm going to ride the donkey. Vesamelach Ki Fiseach. Because the king, because your servant is lame, he can't walk properly. Vayiragah b'avdecha el Adoni HaMelech, and Tziva, the servant, had spoken vayiragah as lashon hara. So he's miragel. So he spoke, the avdecha spoke vayiragah avdecha el Adoni HaMelech, and he spoke bad about me. But Adoni HaMelech kimal chalokim v'asa tovenech, and the king, David HaMelech, is like an angel. You should do what's best in your eyes. Vayomu l'HaMelech, the king says, lama tidaber od varecha, why are you speaking further? Amarti ata. I said, you and Tziva should divide it. You'll divide it. You're not losing all your property. You're getting some of the property. So Amar lo, ani amarti masai tavo b'shalom. Mephibosheth says to David HaMelech, when the king returns in peace. So I was during the day when you return in peace. I was hoping the day when David the Shalom comes to you and there's peace in the world, peace in the country, and this is what you do to me. And you split my property with me. And I really, in the truth, is I don't have any complaints against you. I'm the one who brought you into peace. That's who I have complaints against. I have complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, that's what it says in the Pasuk, Uven Yehonasan Miriv Baal. The child of Yehonasan was Miriv Baal. What is Miriv Baal? V'chi Miriv Baal Ishma, was his name Miriv Baal? V'alo Mephibosheth Ishma. Mephibosheth was the child of Yehonasan, the grandson of Ashal. His name was Mephibosheth. Why is he being called now Miriv Baal? El Mitoch She'asa Miriva Im Baal, because he started a fight, the Miriva, with the master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is, Yatsa Sabaskal V'amrlo Natsa Barnatsa. So a heavenly voice came out and says, you fighter, the child of a fighter. Natsa Hadamran. So we see that he himself, that Mephibosheth was a fighter, that he was engaging in a conflict with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Barnatsa, that he was a child of a Natsa, a child of a fighter, where do we see that? Dechsiv Vayavo Shal at Ir Amalek Vayarav Banachal. That he came, and he went to Amalek, and he fought Banachal. So what does it mean? Al Nachal, Amar Rabbi Mani, Al Iski Nachal, on the matters of a Nachal, what's the matters of a Nachal, says Rashi, Al Iski Nachal, top line of Rashi here, Ma Al Nefesh Achas Amar Torah Habay Egla Rufa, Benachal, Nefesh Halalu Achas Bekama Bekama, Im Gdolom Chatu, Ktanam Ma Chatu. So we see from here that there's a whole mice that took place there, that he was saying that if one person gets killed, we bring the Egla Rufa, the whole mice Egla Rufa. So if more than one get killed, like was taking place at the Nachal, how much more so should we bring Egla Rufa for the mass that took place at Nachal? So that was the fighting words of Shaul. So then the interesting point of Yasha points out here that the Minchas Chinuch has a discussion whether or not Egla Rufa applied to ketanim, even to infants, if you find a dead baby without any knowing what happened, whether or not you bring an Egla Rufa. So he says, based on this Rashi, that im gdolm chatu ketanim chatu, that involved in the children were murdered, so the din would be that you bring Egla Rufa even on a murdered child, lo aleinu. The Gemara then says back inside, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Bisha she'amar David al Mephibosheth. The moment that David said to Mephibosheth, Atavit Siva tachalku es asada. That you and Siva, you and Mephibosheth and Siva should divide the property. Yatz sabaskal v'amar lo rechavam v'yiravam yachalku es amlucha. In light of that, so as a result of you dividing Mephibosheth's property with an Eved, so now your kingdom is going to be split amongst Rechavam and Yeravam. So then Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, il malei lo kibol David lashon hara. Had David HaMelech not accepted the Lashon Hara, lo nechleku Malchus Beis David, then the Malchus Beis David never would have split, lo avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, and never would have Klal Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah, lo galinu me'arteinu, nor would we have been exiled from the land either. So we see from this, it sounds like a very small matter of dividing the land, had been the cause of many, many troubles throughout our history. So Amr Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr Rabbi Yonasan, Kol HaOmer Shlomo Chata Einu Ela Toa. Now Shlomo Melech, those who claim that Shlomo sinned, was also very much mistaken. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Lo Haya Levavo Shalem Im Hashem. His heart was not full with Hashem. Elokava Kilavava David Aviv. It was like the heart of his father. So how do we understand this? Kilavav David Aviv Hu Delohava Michta Nami Lochata. So it wasn't exactly like the heart of his father Shlomo's, but it wasn't. He wasn't sinning. So he wasn't as righteous and as full of mitzvahs and tzidkas and Torah as David HaMelech, perhaps, but he wasn't doing averas either. So Elamani Mekayim. So how do I understand the pasuk that says Vayhi Leis Ziknas Shlomo Nashav Hitu Es Levava? When Shlomo was getting older, so his wives had turned straight away his heart from HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards other gods. How do we understand the pasuk? Hahik Rabbi Nosson, that must be understood like Rabbi Nosson understood it. The Rabbi Nosson Rami, he had brought two psukim that contradicted each other. Ksiv vahileis, ziknas shlomo nashav, hitues levava. One pasuk says that when he was older, his wives caused him to daven and pray to worship other gods. And Ksiv says further, haksiv kilvav David Aviv, that his heart was like the heart of the father, his father David, which means that he didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Kilvav David Aviv hudelo have michtanami lochata. So same thing. So it was not like the father David, but he wasn't sinning either. So how do we reconcile? Did he worship Avodah Zarah? Did he not worship Avodah Zarah? Lays a zikna. So Halchi Kamar, so Rabbi Nosson explains, Vayihi Leisa Zikna Shlomo Noshav Hitu Es Levavo Lalechas Acharei Elohim Acherim V'Lahalach, that his wives were attempting to make him worship Avodah Zarah. They were Hitu, they were trying, but they didn't actually, he wasn't successful, they were not successful, he did not actually worship them. But doesn't the pasuk say, "Azivna Shlomo Bama Lichmosh Shikutz Moav"? But didn't he build a Bama, a type of mizbech for Kemosh, one of the terrible gods of Moav? Shibikesh Livnos Labana. And he thought about building it, but he didn't actually build it. Elamat, if that's the case, Azivna Yeshua Mizbech Lashem, that Yeshua built the mizbech. Does that mean Shibikesh Livnos Labana? He just wanted to build, but Yeshua didn't actually build the mizbech. We know he built the mizbech, so you can't interpret it by Shlomo either. Elo Debana, Hachanami Debana. So just like Yeshua, when it says that he built Azivne, he Taka built the Mizbeach. So too when it says by Shlomo, Azivne Shlomo, he also built the Mizbeach to Avodah Zarah. So Ella Kedetanya. So the Gemara says it's really like the following Brisa, that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Vesabamos Asher Pnei Yushalayim, the Bamos that were on the face, the east of Yushalayim, Asher Mimin, Lahar HaMashkes, that was to the right of this mountain Mashkes, Asher Bana Shlomo Melech Yisrael, Lashtaris Shikut Sidonim, that Melech Shlomo had built towards these gods, Efshir Ba'asa Vlobiram. Is it possible that Asa came and he did not destroy this? Yoshafat Vlobiram, Yoshafat came and didn't destroy it. Achibo Yoshua Biaram, until Yoshua came and burnt them, got rid of them. Halo Kol Avodah Zarah Shebert Yisrael, Asa of Yoshafat Biaram. Didn't Asa and Yoshafat weren't they very thorough in getting rid of all of the Zara? So El Makish Rishom Le'acharim, we're able to compare the first to the half, the first generation to the second generation. What does that mean? Ma'acharonim lo asav etalabhem l'shvach. Just like the other ones, Yoshio and others didn't actually destroy it, yet the Torah gives credit to Yoshio for destroying it, simply for keeping them destroyed. After Rishom, so to the early generations, lo asav etalabhem l'ganai. Even though Shlomo didn't build it, but at the same time he didn't have it destroyed, he was accredited with building it. So too, even though Yoshia didn't actually destroy these mizbechos, these bamos, it was really Asa and Yoshafat didn't, but since Yoshia kept in that same path, it was considered as if he had destroyed them. So to hear is that even though Shlomo didn't actually build it, but since it was under his watch and he allowed for it and it didn't destroy it, he was held responsible as if he built it. V'haksiv v'yash Shlomo hara b'enei Hashem, but didn't it say Shlomo did evil in the eyes of Hashem? It was because, since he had the right and should have protested and gone against his wives for doing all the terrible avodah zarah they did, and he did not, it was considered as if he actually did it. So Shlomo did nothing wrong, but by affiliation of different matters, he was held accountable for many of them, if not all of them. So the Gemara then says, Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Noach lo l'osa tzadik, she shamish l'davar acher, and better for that person, Shmuel, that tzadik, Shlomo HaMelech, that tzadik, better had he actually been in attendance for an avodah zarah, then vayikasebo, then to describe him as vayas harabei ne'ashem. But if this be described as doing evil in the eyes of Hashem, that it seems to be much worse than actually being just a servant for avodah zarah. So we see how intense. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says that Ayikasebo davar ze lamedcha to teach you shekasha hatochacha bimei shibiyado limchas. We see how severe it is that a person has the ability to rebuke. A person has the ability to stop someone from doing something. He does not do it. That is worse than actually working and serving for the avodah zarah. So the Gemara then says, "Vayiter the Amr of Yehuda Amar Shmuel b'shah shenasa Shlomo as Bas Paro, the moment that Shlomo Melch had married the daughter of Bas Paro, chenisa lo elef mine zemer. So the Bas Paro brought in 1,000 types of instruments. V'amr lo, she says, kach osin lavodah zarah plonis, and that's how we serve. That's how we worship this particular avodah zarah, with thousands of instruments. V'kach osin lavodah zarah plonis, and v'lo michava. And as she described all the different ways of worshiping avodah zarah, Shlomo Melech did not rebuke her. Amr Yehuda Amar Shmuel, further b'shah shenasa Shlomo as Bas Paro, the moment that he married the daughter of Paro, Yared Gavriel v'natz kana bayam. Gavriel came down and threw a reed into the sea. V'alabo sirtan, and a sandbank formed. V'alava nivna krach gadol sheromi, and upon which the big city of Rome came, which was of course a terrible tsar for the base of Migdash in Am Yisrael. Masisa Tani, the Brisa teaches us, it's also Yom that day, Sheikhnas Yeravam, Shnei Egle Zav, that when Yeravam brought two golden calves into the Beis Mikdash, Echad Beis El, Vechad Bedan, one, not in Beis Mikdash, but one in Beis El, one in Dan, Nivna Tzrif Echad, Vizel Italia, Sheyavan. There was a certain hut, Tzrif is a hut, a tent that was built, and that was the city of Italy that was built at that time, which ended up, of course, leading to the city of Rome, which caused much havoc and destruction for Am Yisrael. So Amar Bishmur bar Nachmani, Amar Yonasan, Kol Omer Yoshiyahu Chata Eino Elatah. Those who claim that Yoshiyahu HaMelech sinned are also very much mistaken. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Vayas HaYosha B'Eini Hashem V'Yelech B'Chal Derech B'David Ovid, that Yoshiyahu walked in the path of Hashem, in the same path as his as David HaMelech. So it says, Elamani Mekayim Kamar Lo Hayel Lefana Melech Asher Yishava. And when it came to Yoshiyahu, it's described, there's no one like Yoshiyahu HaMelech who did Shav, who did Tshuva. So he did Tshuva. So you only do Tshuva when you do something wrong. So he must have done something wrong. So he was Chata. Shekol Dinam Shadar Miben Shmona Ad Shmona Esrei. What it means is, every court case that he judged from the 8th to the 18th year of his reign, Hechzirin Lehen, he returned back the properties. Shema Tomar Natum Izem Natum Nasan Lezeh. He took from the person who had initially given and returned it back to the other person. No. Tam Lomar Bechol Ma'odo. He used all his own money. Shenasan Lehen Mishilo. He gave it from his own possessions. So not that he did anything wrong, rather he just was trying to even out some of the court cases that he had presided over. So the Gemara then says that Opliga the Rav argues and says, no, that Rav ain't the Chagadah Mibali Tshuva, Yosir Miyoshio, Bidaro, Ve'echad Bidarenu. There's no one as great amongst the Bali Tshuva as Yoshio HaMelech. So even though the previous statement, we said that he didn't do Tshuva, when it says Shav, he just returned some of the money that he was involved in some Dinei Torah. But here, Rav Yonasan says that Hitaka did do Tshuva, he was the greatest Bali Tshuva, him and one other. Who was the one other? Umanu, Abba, Avua, Rabbi Yirmiya, Bar Abba. The Amri La others say Acha Achua Daba Avua Rabbi Yirmiya Baba Lamar Abba Acha Achay Havi. They were brothers, so this was the one. He was the individual who was the other great Baal Tshuva. So Amr of Yosef, Yosef says Ode Echa B'Dereinu. He said there is one more actually, and Omanu, who was that other great Baal Tshuva? Ukvan Bar Nechemya Reish Kalusa, one of the Reish Kalusas whose name was Ukvan Bar Nechemya, Behainu Nasan de Tzutzisa, and this is, he's known as Nasan Tzutzisa, that was his name, how he's described. Rashi explains Nasan de Tzutzisa, the last Rashi on the parak here, Alshem Nitzotin de Nora, the sparks from the fire, Shamach Pashadis Yado, Vekibo Tshuvaso, that the Mach extended his hand and it was Makabo the Tshuva, that's why he's called the Nasan Tzutzisa, because the sparks of the Malach, it seems. So Amar of Yosef, Hava Yasivna Bepirka Vahava Kamenamnein, he was, Rav Yosef said, he was once sitting in a shir, and he was falling asleep. Vechaza Bechalma, he saw in his dream, the Kapash Yade, he saw in the dream that the Malach stretched out his hand, and the Kablain accepted the Tshuva of Nasan, so that's the sparks it was described as. Some interesting Agadat, these last couple of daf, Hajanlach, but Meh Behema will continue with Hashem on Sunday with the next parak, which is also continued topics of Meh Isha Yotzeis. What could a woman go out with wearing a tachshit and the various other decorations, where other types of jewelry? And Imrit Hashem, we should continue, and everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.